The smarts in here, the smarts in here, yeah. The smarts in here, the smarts in here, yeah.
I reference Cena so much, I'm sure you assume that I got a man crush, but I swear it's just random. Not
yo, 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 it's your boy Sean like Huff.
You can't
I'm
see
here
it.
With Mike K. Next to me this in IKEA. It's smart. Smart monkeys. And super kicks. Shh. Try to not be too loud. Mike, how you been, man? It's been a long time.
Oh, man, pretty good.
I feel like it's been a while. I feel like the last time we did a show was like Mania, sometime around Mania.
Was it that long ago? No.
Just after Mania. It had to be like shortly after Mania.
Did we do one in the summer?
I don't think, maybe. Yeah, we did. We did a review. We did like a bonus show reviewing a pay-per-view.
Yeah. The last time I think we did one was, yeah, right after a pay-per-view. And you were in, like, New Hampshire, I think.
Mm-hmm. I sat in the hallway.
Right, in the hallway, right. I don't remember what paper that was.
I might throw this one on YouTube. Why not? Why not just throw the whole thing up on YouTube? We'll have the YouTube.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the...
I'll tell you what the last one was, because I just have to look up on you.
I'm looking
on my handy-dandy Anchor app on my phone.
There you go. I'm going to guess probably at least 6 months.
June 7th.
There you go. Look at that. 6 months.
Takeover in your house bonus episode.
Yes. I remember that takeover. Right. That was when EO won the title.
Yep. And then the day before that, we did the pit stop. So we did a pit stop show and then we did the review of it. So June.
That's right.
So 6 months ago.
6 months, yeah.
We're back.
Yeah. Yay.
It's the crazy thing is I've had a lot of people ask me, oh, when are you guys going to do another show? We haven't seen your podcast. I've had Facebook groups add me asking me to join so we could post the show in there. So, and the funny thing is, even though we haven't posted in a long time, every time I go on Anchor and look, there's more views on our old shows. So that's kind of cool.
Well, that's a good idea.
So maybe we'll come back and get like a resurgence, kind of like those old shows that come back from the 80s and when they redo them, everybody watches.
That's right. Yeah. Right. Yep. Like, what was it Family Guy that got brought back on TV?
Right.
Because everyone wanted it. So, because it was like, they banned it and everyone's like, no, put it back. And
so check this out. This is surprising. We have had over 1,700 views.
Wow.
To our podcast. So that's kind of cool. Yeah. To me, I'm like,
700 views. That's pretty good. 1,700 views.
Yeah, 1,700
people watched it 10 times.
Right. No, I mean the bonus show had 34 views. Nothing crazy.
No.
But hey, you know, it's something. But whatever. We're here. It's time again for the Smarkies. This is what I had to bring it back. We couldn't just not have. We did two Smarky Awards. We couldn't have our third annual Smarky. We could not have the third annual Smarky Awards.
You know, yeah. Pandemic can't stop that.
Yeah, we're gonna have the Smarkies. So, it's fun. This is my second award show. If you guys follow me on GodHatesGeeks.com, we actually did a podcast, our first video podcast that's going to be on it's up on the God Hates Geeks YouTube channel. It's in two parts because it was a really big, long show. We don't have 900,000 awards, so we shouldn't take 2 hours.
No, I'm not.
Well, man, I do love being back in the saddle. We got to get this going again and start making this a weekly thing and get things going with it. There's so much that's gone on in wrestling since we were last on.
Sure.
So this could be the longest show in the world if we were just talking about random things. That's kind of why I waited till the Smarky Awards to bring it back. So we have something to base us on. We can do our awards, and then we'll have another show next week, and we'll be back, baby.
Yeah.
My little Eddie shake. Jimmy Heat shirt. You see my little
pop?
My little Funko Pops.
I got
Hogan.
There you go.
And a Mr. T.
There you go. You WrestleMania 1 all over again.
They're exclusives. Amazon exclusives.
There you go.
Yes, so that's kind of cool. Anyhow, let's get into this, because I mean, we could just stop beating around the bush with everything else going on. There's so much to talk about. Like I said, there's a lot to talk about. We have a lot to say. Come back next week and we'll get into something else. But today we're going to just get into the Smarky Awards. We're going to cover this, run the year down and talk about all the craziness that happened this year. I mean, do you agree that the year started out really, really good last year and then COVID kind of happened and derailed everything? And
yeah, absolutely I do. I think between, if you were trying to rank like who of the three companies, if you just take like WWE, AEW, and NXT, I'll use NXT as a separate, even though it's kind of still part of it. I'll use it three separate things, right? The three main big kind of shows. You can throw Impact in there, Impact and some of the other ones in there too. But
Ring of Honor's coming back now, but they weren't really there. They're right, yeah, falling off.
If you just think of those three places, I think of the three of them, I think AEW has benefited the has done the best with handling everything, then NXT, then WWE. I think WWE has struggled with.
Oh, they have. They've dropped the ball so many. You know, yeah. Even they've tried to do, they just can't get it to work. I mean, we could have a whole show. We'll do a whole show coming up on the current state of WWE and what's going on with things there, because it's a big mess, and it's worth at least a whole show just to cover what
that. Oh, easily, yeah. Just to tear into them.
But I mean, we had some good matches at the beginning of the year, and then the pandemic hit, and wrestling was just almost deflated. I felt like a lot of people, you know, when you look at God Hates Geeks, we lost a lot of correspondence over there because people just weren't getting into wrestling anymore. And even now, as we've come out of the out of lockdown and we have shows again, you still have people who haven't gotten back into it because of the no crowds and how they're making that work. And it's just a lot of people are disenfranchised, but I don't know if that's the right word to use for it. But people just don't feel connected to it anymore.
I agree. Yeah, I'm the same way. Like I haven't been anywhere near invested in it like I was before. Mm-hmm. To the point where, like, I mean, I pay attention to some things, but I'm not like really like looking into it, really into it. I think a lot of it, you spend a lot of time when you see things and something happens, it loses its luster because there's no fans there. You're like, man, I wish there was a fan. If there were fans here, this would have been so much better.
Yeah, it would have been better.
Yeah.
That's all you need in some cases.
Right. It was like, if there was just some fans here, this was done in a different place, it would have a different feel and be so much better. But because of everything that's happened, everything just falls flat. And
there's not anything you can do about it. We're just with this current situation, what are you going to do? We're trying to make the best of it. And I do applaud every company who did do the best they could to bring us wrestling back. They knew that people were locked down. And I mean, we could get into the side of it and get really down and talk about how, you know, people were depressed, people were suicidal. There was a lot of that going on. We even saw it happen in the wrestling universe with some people. Hannah Kamara, you know, she was bullied and she ended up committing suicide. And that was a whole big thing that tore the wrestling world apart. Yeah. But luckily we were able to do something. I mean, between WWE, NXT, AEW, then Impact came back. Now we've got Ring of Honor back doing things. MLW has rebooted and they've kicked back off. I don't know, Mike, I know you're not a big New Japan guy. I don't know if you've caught any of Wrestle Kingdom.
No, I haven't. No.
It was amazing. Watch it. Go back. Like, if you get the chance, go find it. You know where to find that stuff.
Yeah.
Watch Wrestle Kingdom. I haven't got the opportunity to watch Night 2 yet, but I heard Night 2 was amazing. Night 1 was incredible. I'm keeping a tally of matches that I'm going to keep rated and cross them out as they move down for match of the year. Because one thing that I feel happened this year was a lot of the earlier in the year matches got forgotten about. A lot of things that happened before the pandemic completely were forgotten about because you had that
such
a long period.
Yeah. So
even when we get into our matches of the year and everything, it happened in on God Hates Geeks, where there were a few awards that went to people that were kind of like, well, it could have been this. And it was more so, oh, I forgot about that.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. That happened. So when you forget, you kind of can't vote for something they don't really remember. So,
right, exactly.
So we kind of have that issue with everything. So this year, I'm going to try to keep a running tally because who knows what's going to happen with this year.
Who knows?
You know, so far right now, I have Okada versus Ospreay as my match of the year, with my second place being the match right behind it, right after it, which was Naito versus Ibushi for the IWGP Championship. Two amazing matches. Watch them if you don't watch anything else. But that whole card was great. The Gorillas of Destiny match was great. I enjoyed the whole show. And I stayed up. I watched it live. So I was up until 7 in the morning watching
wrestling. Jesus.
Well, it's Japan. It comes on at
2. I know. Yeah.
The pre-show was at 2. So
yeah. 2 in the morning. Right. What are you going to do?
Yeah. So, but it's good. Hopefully we can follow that up and we just keep right on rolling. Who knows? We got a lot of stuff coming up. You know, Impact's got a pay-per-view coming up. Of course, the Rumble's around the corner. We're about to be on the road to WrestleMania again. I feel like we just got off that road.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember the last road. That's right.
Yeah. And it was horrible. And we didn't even want to talk about it. I don't even know if we did a Mania preview show. We might have actually skipped that.
I think we might have, only because it was right when everything started and we didn't even know what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It was that was probably the first time where it's like, wow, this is like terrible. And only because it was in like they had the Performance Center. I'm like, you don't even have it at like, you know.
For the record, we did do a pit stop. It was on April the 4th and it was called WrestleMania Pit Stop Relocated.
Yeah. It was, I don't remember much about it. And I just remember that, you know, Mania was just like, it was like anything else. It was just like, yeah, okay, great. Yeah, Mania's been done. Wonderful. Yay. Move on.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how it's been. It's just been like, you just can't, I don't know, you don't have this team feeling about certain things like you should. And as a result, some things end up getting kind of like I said before, I'll say it again, they fall flat. And there's things they're like, you should really be excited about, but because of the situation, it's like, yeah, it's great, wonderful, but I don't have the same, like, I guess the same love for whatever happened.
Yeah. No, I agree with you with that.
Like Steve, like even like, for example, like Sting going to AEW, you're like, my crap, Sting's in AEW. But I'm like, I looked at it more like, oh, why the hell is Sting in AEW?
I look at that in general that way, just because of the whole situation. I'm like, I don't understand why everyone's so excited about Sting being in AEW. What's the
big deal?
It's Sting. He's old. Like, they're complaining about Goldberg being in WWE, and you're happy that he's in AEW. Now, we can get into a whole topic on that about marks and how they don't make any sense. Like,
they're
hypocritical. They say one thing, you know, if their company does it, it's great. If the other company does it, it's the worst.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's one of those things. Again, we can get into it too, but like, just it's AEW's continued like ability to go forward and then go backwards the very next day. It's like,
well, I think so. Here's my thing with AEW. Let me
stop doing old people stuff. You know, stop doing things like go one direction. Like stop like going one way and then turning around and going back. So like, don't push your young guys and then turn around and bring back an old guy. Like, that's not a good thing, man. We don't need, like, AEW has more older guys than they might have younger guys now.
It's true, right? Is that weird?
Think about how many, and then they're all, what, do they all have to be managers? Like, why is it that we have to have all these old guys? We don't need them.
They just don't want them to take too many bumps.
Yeah, like, we don't need them. You don't need them. You don't need Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard and Jake the Snake Roberts and Taz and Sting and Vicky Guerrero. You don't need them.
You don't need Vicky Guerrero.
You don't need
Taz. I think Taz is good there.
Taz is good.
Arn doesn't really do anything. Tully, at least he's kind of involved in it. Arn is.
But my point is, like,
you just walks out to the ring and holds a clipboard.
Yeah, but like that's why, like, you don't need them there though. Like, you don't need them. You don't need them to be anywhere near it.
Don't you get that? That's what that whole, my biggest complaint about AEW is, that's what that whole brand is. It's WCW reborn. It's the good old boys club, except it's the good old boys club. Now it's the good young boys club.
Yeah, I just, yeah,
the boys who like all hang out together and they're all best friends. So
yeah,
like you've got a lot of guys that don't belong there. There's a lot of talent on that roster, and there's a lot of potential, but they waste it because you've got the Bucks in management who are putting on their friends. Excalibur shouldn't be there.
Right.
The guys,
I agree.
He goes into business for himself half the time.
Right.
The guy, Vince would have fired him a long time ago. The guy didn't belong in the booth. He needs to go away. But unfortunately, he's one of the Bucks boys. That's why he's there. Sammy Guevara goes through all that crap when we had all this whole speaking out movement. And, you know, people got fired and everything. And what happened to Sammy Guevara? He admitted that he did what was what he was accused of and got a slap on the wrist and would go away for 60 days and go to sensitivity training.
Right, yeah.
I hate Sammy Guevara. I'm never going to like that guy.
Yeah.
I can't stand him. So I wish they took care of that. But that's the politics of AEW, and AEW fans aren't going to complain about it because it's their indie darlings. WWE did a good job of locking a bunch of those guys up, which a good job in that they locked them up, a bad job in that they had no idea what to do with them.
Yeah, they don't know what to do with them, but.
But AEW just signed all the indie darlings that don't really belong being signed.
Right.
All the guys that they were boys with. Like, hey, I'm going to give you. It reminds me back of when MC Hammer had all that money. And he went broke because he hired all of his buddies to do his jobs that didn't have any business getting a job with him.
Right.
AEW. That's my thoughts on AEW. They just hire a bunch of, like, I like you. Come have a job.
Right.
I swear, if I went and sat down with the Bucks that we had
to have a job tomorrow,
things, right. I'd have a job in AEW tomorrow because
they're
likable. They'd love me.
Yeah.
Unless they listened to my podcast and they heard me call them the cucks and.
Yeah, we call them spot monkeys all the time.
Spot monkeys, they are.
Why? Because they are. They're exactly what they are.
That's what they are. Anyway, so let's get right into this. This is the third annual Smarky Awards. I should have wear a tux. I should have like dressed up with a tuxedo.
You wear a tuxedo shirt,
right, or something like that.
Yeah,
I have one in my closet. I could put on.
There you go. Yeah,
I really could go put it on.
And then you mean it's business, green. Which also like the party.
It's green, though, because it's like, it's my St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, it's tough.
Well, you know, I'm going to grab it. I'm going to grab it right now, so you guys can wait.
Video back. Anyways.
I have it. I'm going to put this. I told you, this is going to go on YouTube. We'll throw it up there.
Okay, that's true.
Here we go. I got to find this thing. If I know where it is. Watch it.
No idea.
I'm over here. This is all just dead air time because I'm looking for something that I'm not going to find.
That's true.
I got it.
We're still recording.
So I know we're recording. I'm taking my shirt off. You can't do that on the air. The girls will go wild.
Yeah, Facebook will ban you.
They might, right?
YouTube will ban you. Or Zoom. Somebody will.
All of them. All of the above will ban me. I'll be banned by everybody. Yeah. Everybody involved will ban me. Here we go.
There you go.
There we go. All right.
I think I might actually have the same shirt somewhere.
That's funny. Well, welcome back. Even though you didn't go anywhere, I went. And it's the Smarkies, and I'm tuxedoed up. I'm ready to go. We're ready to go to some awards and talk about the best and worst of 2020 in the world of professional wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I just want to pull my suspenders over here that are fake.
Yeah. Pull your fake suspenders.
So let's get right into it. We're going to start out with I don't really have – here's the one thing I did wrong. I had no rhyme or reason how I wrote them down. I kind of just wrote them down. So we're just going to bounce around here. I'm going to start out with worst because, you know, we love to have our worst. We have our best. We have our worst.
Yeah.
So let's start out with the best pay-per-view of the year. There are a lot of good pay-per-views. The problem is the pandemic. It killed a lot of them. Made people, right. A lot of these pay-per-views that came out after the pandemic just didn't cut the mustard because there weren't a lot of people, because nobody there. So people didn't care. Some of it just didn't come off right. I mean, Drew's win at Mania would have been so much better had there been fans there.
Of course. Well, yeah, huge. Yeah, absolutely.
So our winner this year for the best pay-per-view was the 2020 Royal Rumble.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, going back to that Rumble, it was great. It really looked like they were going to, like, WWE really had a good grasp on what they were going to do on the road to WrestleMania. Of course, things coming up after, and they fucked it all up with Super Showdown and Goldberg beating the Fiend.
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently, they didn't know what they were doing. But Rumble gave us a good starting ground on the road to WrestleMania and really looked like it was going to go good. Now, I will say, Wrestle Kingdom probably should have got this award. But I didn't really remember all of it. It's like Wrestle Kingdom happens so early in the year that by the time we get to the awards, it's hard to remember. It was hard enough for me to remember the Rumble. I had to go back and really look at reviews that we did on the year. And I was like, Rumble. Yeah, the Rumble was good. So,
It was a good, I mean, the concept that, well, the one thing I thought about the Rumble was that I remember it being too Brock heavy in the beginning, right?
Okay.
We had talked about how it was going to be. We kind of knew what was going to happen.
He was going to be number one. He was just going to run through people.
Right, but we didn't think it was. We figured it was going to go like, at least myself thought it was going like, 9, 10, 11, somewhere around there. Then something happens. But this one went like 16, 17. I think you went
like 18.
Halfway.
Keith Lee finally threw him out.
No, Drew did.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It was Drew. Yeah.
Drew threw him out. That was the whole thing.
Yep.
But, it was one of those things where it was like, it was expected, but took way too long to get there. And I think it took away from some of the feelings about the
spectacle of the Royal
Rumble. Right. And I think if they'd done it a little bit earlier, I think it would have had even more of an impact. I mean, it was still a great moment, but it was one of those things where it was like, you should have just done this like 2 minutes ago. And you could have changed this around, done this 2 minutes ago, but instead you let it drag out for like 16 guys before you finally like had Drew kick him out of the ring. It's like, great. So we just went 30 minutes watching Brock Lesnar toss everyone out one by one. It kind of was like, So I remember that Rumble being half like bad. And then the second half being, all right, once Brock got out of there.
I thought it was great watching Brock do that because that's just.
Yeah, it was good, but it was expected. Right. And it was expected. To me, it felt like it took too long.
It just took too long to really get to
it. Like, all right, man. Yeah. Who's he going to. Is he coming out now? It was like, we all kind of knew Drew was going to be the one who's going to kick him out. Mm-hmm. We were like, all right, is Drew coming next? Nope. All right. Another guy. Wait two more minutes. Right. Throw him out. Okay. Next one? Nope. Not him either. Okay.
Yeah.
Man throws him out. I don't feel like you. Nope.
I feel like if it wasn't for COVID and we had fans all year round, this probably wouldn't be Matt.
Right. Yeah, probably not.
Now, well, since we got our best pay per view of the year out of the way, let's go down the other rabbit hole to worst pay per view of the year. And this year, the Smarky goes to. Want to guess?
I'm going to guess Super Showdown.
Did you read it, or was that just a real guess?
No, I knew it anyways. I knew it was Super Showdown. Yeah.
No one even questions that. Everyone was like, oh, yeah.
I don't know. It's like, duh. Anything Super Showdown is going to be the worst.
It was February. It was bad. Always. You had that horrible Undertaker. No, that wasn't Undertaker Goldberg. That was the one before it, right?
That was the one before. That was the crappy showdown the year before. This one was Goldberg and Fiend.
That was bad.
Which was even more terrible.
It's just something to forget about. I don't even want to really get into it. It was just
bad. Was this the one where they had if I remember, was this the one where they had the end of the whatever the world's greatest tournament thingy that
I think that was last year.
The one that AJ won, but then Taker comes out and
Yes, you're right. Yes, that's
what it was, right? Yeah. Right, AJ won the tournament, and then Taker just shows up, chokeslams him, and that's it.
And yeah.
No, it was like, okay.
Yeah, I don't even know. Yeah, that was, so that was the worst pay-per-view.
Yes.
I would definitely say go watch it, but please don't.
Don't watch it.
If you go watch it, you're going to be mad at me for telling you to watch it. So I'm telling you, don't go watch it. You'll be
Keep the 4 hours of your life together. I think it was 4 hours too, wasn't it?
It was in the middle of the day, and I know that I wasted my entire day, and I was just mad that I wasted the time to watch it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was like 4 hours on.
I think I did a review of it too for God Hates Geek, so I think that's why I tortured myself through that in the middle.
Yeah, it was on like noon.
Yeah,
on a Thursday.
Yeah, on a Wednesday. Yeah, Thursday.
Yeah, it's like, oh, great time to have a pay per view, dummies.
It's in Saudi Arabia, dude. I need a haircut.
Sure, but like you could still could have had it. It's in Saudi Arabia. Could have done it on a Saturday or a Sunday.
Maybe it's different for them in Saudi Arabia. I don't know what they have off. Maybe they get Thursday and Wednesday off.
Maybe. I don't know. Saudi Arabia.
Up day. Stay home.
It's whatever the prince wants to do. Anyways, their blood money.
I'm saying, yeah. It's really what it goes down to. The prince's call.
Super Showdown, blood money.
Blood money.
Yeah.
So what else do we got going on over here? Let's go to the botch of the year.
Well, that's an easy one.
There were a lot of botches. Jax was active almost all year.
That's true. And she's a botch every single time she's in the ring.
That's just her showing up is a botch.
Yeah.
But I mean, despite everything else, what really it took the cake was Matt Sydal's.
Yeah.
Was that Impact he showed up at or Ring of Honor?
No, it was AEW's.
It was.
That Joker's Wild like battle royal they do.
If you guys didn't see it, because it was the pre-show to the pay-per-view.
Yeah, it was like that Joker's Wild, or what do they call that?
Yeah, the Joker's Wild buy-in battle royal or whatever.
The buy-in battle royal, that's what it is. And like he was the Joker and he like came in and climbed the ropes to do his shooting star press and fell.
It was bad.
It was bad.
He got the boost off of it, so it wasn't just like he slipped and fell. He got the boost off of it and then just went down.
And just went down.
Right.
Like he was drunk the whole time.
Oh yeah. It was really, really, really
bad. It was really bad. Probably the worst botch of the year. Absolutely the worst botch of the year.
It's worth watching over and over
again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. On our page, I will have it in on our Twitter. I've created some artwork for the awards.
Yeah. So I
actually have a picture of him mid flip when he's coming. Actually, I don't think it's mid flip. I think it's when he lands on his neck. If you look at how he landed, he's lucky he wasn't hurt.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Back of his neck.
It might be worse than Titus World Slide.
Oh my God, you know, Titus loved when that happened. He was like, yes, I'm free.
Yes.
Well, Titus, you don't have to worry because this year Matt Sydal gets our.
Yep, your title's over. You can get rid of your title. You don't have to do it anymore.
Fact. Let's go to the worst entrance of the year. This one was a tie. I was surprised. I don't know why we don't have best entrance. I feel like next year we have to add best entrance in here.
Yeah, I don't want to have the best entrance.
I would say Karrion Kross.
I would say that. Now, are we saying best entrance or worst entrance in the sense of like their normal entrance music? Or is it more of like them just like an entrance like they make during like a match? Like Taker's, like when Undertaker always has his different like Beyonce when it comes to his, or is it more like just who's got the best?
Just who's the best and worst entrance on a normal day, like when the music hits. Who do you like? Yes.
I mean, I would definitely say Karrion Kross is right up there with best.
Yeah, I would say that as well. I obviously we don't have this one in here, so maybe next year we'll put a best. We need some more best. We have like all the ones but the worst entrance we had a tie this year. This was a tie between Kenny Omega and Cody Rhodes. And I completely get it. Kenny Omega, I like heel Kenny. I'm glad he turned. But on the other side of it, his entrance is just too much. The girls with the brooms and the silhouette.
Yeah, I don't really care for the cleaner freaking gimmick. I think it's dumb. Because he's not a, I don't look at him as like a hardcore type of person, you know?
Yeah.
I look at him, it's more of like, you're a wrestler, you're not a hardcore person. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
You being the cleaner, like, yeah, the clean. Like, I would probably say, like, Kenny Omega definitely would be mine. I don't mind Cody's entrance.
Here's why Cody's got it, and I get this too. Cody has, like, 73% of the AEW's fireworks budget in his goddamn entrance.
This is true. This is true. I think he's the only one who gets pyro.
Way too much. Like the whole, you think there's a terrorist attack because the everything's blowing up on the stage. Like, oh my God, Cody's going to die. Oh no, that's just his pyro.
Yeah.
It's way, way, way too much. Calm it down. Bring it back a notch, Cody.
You I agree with that.
All that pyro.
You can bring it back a little bit, buddy.
A little bit. Just a little bit. Gargano won it last year, but he changed his music this year.
Yeah, he finally listened to us.
Right?
Change your music, God damn it.
Finally. So he made out of that. So we got Kenny and Cody there. Hey, guys, fix your entrance. Next year, hopefully it's not you again.
Yeah, there you go.
Because it could be.
Yeah, fix your entrance. Definitely.
Worst gimmick of the year. There are a lot of bad gimmicks in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
We could probably sit here and just run down a list of horrible gimmicks that were like,
oh, I think of them. Yeah, you're like, Jesus, what are the worst gimmicks?
But by and far, the worst gimmick, Otis.
Yes.
The Smarky goes to Otis.
Otis. Good job, Otis.
And it's just what they do with him, the whole big jokey.
Yeah.
Can't take you serious. And then he gets my money in the bank. Like, who thought that was a good idea? The guy is just a complete joke that didn't have to be. He didn't have to be that because he was a big dude, weird looking, but a big dude that you could have actually done something with if you didn't make him this joke character that you did.
I would have put that up there. It was one of the worst pay-per-views of the year. Money in the Bank.
No way. Rey Mysterio got thrown off of the roof. That was awesome.
Yeah, well, maybe. Yeah, but still, the result of that and then just the whole thing being in the – going through the building and stuff. It's just like, ugh.
That was bad. It was bad. That was probably should have been up there higher for worst match of the year.
Yeah.
But I understand why it didn't win. We'll get there, too. Worst switch your gimmick guy. I don't know. Is he been around? What are they doing with him now?
He's on SmackDown. He's been like in, they put him in random tag teams with like Chad Gable and Daniel Bryan.
I don't even get that. So Chad Gable's teaching Daniel Bryan now?
I have no idea. I don't really pay attention.
Before that, Drew Gulak was teaching Daniel Bryan. Like,
I have no idea. I don't think WWE has any idea what they're doing with their mid card on either show, on anything that they're doing right now. It's pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I agree with Otis though.
Worst storyline. This one, there's a few of them that we could have took this one too. Otis and Mandy for one. That was up there. King Corbin. Another storyline. Shorty G. This is a bad storyline.
Pretty bad, yep.
I could keep going. That's just WWE. I could also go over to AEW. We could talk about the best friends being driven to shows by Trent Taylor's mother.
Yeah. Yep. I heard that. Yep.
Not, like, it's just bad storyline. Just bad.
Right.
We've seen a lot of it. What does Jericho call it? Bad storyline by poor creative or something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I don't remember exactly what he called it. Yeah.
There was a lot of bad ones, but by far, the end of the day, the worst storyline of 2020, the Smarky goes to who shot Johnny Bravo?
See, I don't remember that one.
It's an Impact storyline. You don't watch Impact that much, and it's It's very recently. So you know how they were doing that Legends House thing in on Impact?
Yeah.
The like house thing. Well, somewhere during that, Johnny Bravo and Rosemary were scheduled to get married. And the day of the wedding, somebody shot Johnny Bravo.
Okay.
And he was in the hospital.
That's great.
It was dumb. And then yeah. It being that big fat guy from the two fat guy team. I don't even remember, AC Romero and the Heavy D or whatever.
No idea. No idea. Like I said, I haven't watched it back in forever.
Don't worry. That's another. There's another storyline that could have been up there for worst storyline. Was just the whole idea of the.
That sounds terrible.
Impact, the wrestler's house or whatever. It wasn't Legends House because there were like absolutely no legends there except for Tommy Dreamer, who was kind of the house host. But boy, that was a bad storyline. But when it culminated with Johnny Bravo being shot and the who shot Johnny Bravo, they had an entire court proceeding in the house.
Because why not?
Over who shot Johnny Bravo.
Right.
It was bad.
Yeah, why not have a court thing? That's what you do.
Yeah, have it right in your house. You know, bring everybody to the house, and Tommy Dreamer presides. And
of course,
it was bad. Really, really bad. Yeah, and I hope they never do anything like that again.
Are you in?
Come out of Corona and don't do that. But hey, Impact walking away with a Smarky today.
There you go. Congratulations, Impact.
Let's get into promotions. Promotion of the year. We have promotion of the year and worst promotion of the year. Let's go with the promotion of the year first, because I like to honor the shitty shit.
Yeah.
Promotion of the year. I think this was a gimme. New Japan gets the Smoky. They had that whole a lot of time when they didn't have anything because of the virus, but they also had a lot of time when they didn't have anything because of the virus. So that helped them.
Right.
They didn't have the shit that was going on. Election
and kind
of throw stuff against the wall and see what sticks, and nothing sticks. So New Japan, like every time they did do something, it made sense. It had continuity and it was a good show. So New Japan, congratulations on your Smarky.
Yay!
Yay!
New Japan.
Worst promotion of the year. This one's funny because the promotion that got worst promotion of the year and the Smarkies got promotion of the year in the Apostle Awards.
What?
Yeah, there's a bunch of marks over there in the Apostles.
Apparently.
But you read my articles, I always complain about those marks because what do they all do? The Smarky goes to the worst promotion of the year.
Yeah.
AEW.
Yeah.
Man, you talked about it earlier when we were just talking about AEW. They weren't consistent. They just threw stuff everywhere and saw what to see what
stuff
all over the place. They're so like they can't focus on, hey, this is our audience. It's like, hey, we want to get this audience. Oh, well, let's do this so we can try to bring in the gay people. Let's do this so we can try to bring in these people. Let's do this. Like, no. Have your brand. This was supposed to be an alternative to WWE that didn't do the shit that WWE does. And I just find them doing the same thing.
Yeah, they really do. And it's true. And they don't focus on one thing at a time. And like, I feel like they too much like shifting around. It's like one moment, Eddie Kingston for a minute. How many different groups has Eddie Kingston been a part of since he's been in AEW? He comes out, he's like, he's with the Lucha Bros, and then he's not with them, and then he's now, you know, then he's with these, and he's now, it's just like all these guys just jumping around. They springboard one, or they put in to have one like storyline go one way, and then they automatically switch it to something else. It's like,
I think part of it is the pandemic. So with the,
I get it.
We don't know who we're gonna have, so we're gonna stop doing this. But at least stick with it. If you say don't say, oh, you're back. Okay, we're gonna do this now.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Like, yeah. Don't just. I understand. Yeah. You gotta kind of adjust on the fly, but that doesn't mean that you take away from like what you should be doing. Like, how come, like the whole Kenny Omega thing, for example, like, first of all, you had John Moxley as your champion, who's been your champion for a long time and has been pretty good, and then had never lost. He was undefeated, never lost to anybody.
He's fought like three matches.
Right.
He wasn't pretty good. Like, he's horrid.
It's like the time.
Everybody complains about Brock not showing up. Moxley, when do you see Moxley?
I'm talking about the fact that, like, he was champion. My point is that he's champion all along, and he was undefeated. He hadn't lost to anybody. Regardless of how many matches he had, he hadn't lost to anybody. And then randomly, you have him lose to Kenny Omega. It's like,
I don't think that was random. I think that was kind of the build. Like,
But my point is that
probably should have been their first champion. Let's be real about this. Kenny Omega probably should have been the first AEW champion, but they didn't go that route because everyone was already saying, oh, you know what they're going to do? They're going to give all the belts to their boys. So, we won't do that. We'll wait on it. So they slow burned it and gave it to Kenny way down the road. I think they waited. First of all, I think they waited too long. I think they should have pulled the trigger out a long time before that.
Yeah.
Second off, it was as much as people love Moxley, there's the other side of people hate him just as much because this whole idea that he's a totally different guy. No, he's not. He's the same boring guy with zero charisma.
Yeah,
it's his lips and overacts. He's horrible. I'm glad he doesn't have the title anymore because his matches didn't even intrigue me. Like, I didn't watch a Moxley match. I'm like, oh, this is amazing. Like, no, his best years were the WWE. Let's be real about it.
Right.
So great. He was better as Moxley, as Ambrose, than he is as Moxley.
Right. Dean Ambrose.
It's horrible. However, he didn't win worst anything this year.
No, he didn't. No. But AEW they just got to pick a lane. They don't pick a lane right now.
Yeah. And like I said, I get it. The pandemic made everything crazy. So I'll give you a little bit of a little
lead. I will, but not really because you're still the worst. You have the best opportunity. You had the best situation to handle the pandemic. And in the sense that where your stuff is, you know what I mean? Like where you're having your shows, you're doing the best with it. Had the best look. It's like you have the best opportunity to really kind of still look like, and the fact too, that you actually have, for the most part, fans there. Not a lot, but you actually have some fans there, and yet you still can't seem to pick a lane. It's like,
well, again, it goes to that whole, we're going to play this game of we want to be, we want to bring in all of our friends and take care of our friends, take care of the indie wrestlers. So half of the time, they're putting on guys in the indies that don't belong on TV because they feel bad. So they want to be able to say it's the age of social justice warriors. So they look good because they're helping these guys that wouldn't otherwise be able to put food on their table because COVID shut them down. So good for them. They're giving them a job. But they suck. So they don't belong on TV. Like, I gave up on Dark. Dark is just the worst show ever. It's just a bunch of scrubs that don't belong on TV.
Oh, yeah, I don't even watch it. Yeah, it's Main Event.
That's what it is. Main Event is better.
Yeah, but that's what it is. You know what I mean? It's their version of WWE Main Event.
Yeah, but like you said, Main Event is better. Because Main Event is, like, half of the guys on Dark aren't even signed to AEW contracts.
Yeah, it's just nobody. They're just, let's have Dark matches and put them on TV.
Just bring in some indie guys that don't have, we'll give them a payday. You know? And because of that, it's also caused them to not use the talent that they have. They got a lot of good talent that should be pushed. Instead, you got the Acclaimed running around the tag team scene. And this is like the best tag division in professional wrestling.
Yeah.
And Acclaimed is who you're focusing on.
Yeah.
Granted, they're okay, but they're nothing special.
No, yeah, exactly.
They're better than Private Party. So, I mean, sure, push them over Private Party because Private Party is horrid, in my opinion. They're a bunch of spa monkeys. But you're getting guys that just don't belong in the spotlight that are getting the spotlight because they don't know what they're doing over there.
Right.
And it's just more of, I mean, guys, people get mad about it. Joey Janela kind of was just like, oh, screw it, because he thought it was going to go over there and get used, and then finds out, oh, no, we're going to use you all right. It's a scrub.
Right, yeah.
I mean, granted, I'm not a huge Janela fan. Rossi, if he was on here, he would defend him completely. But, yeah, I'm not a huge Janela fan, so I don't really care. He's a guy that didn't belong getting that contract.
Right.
It is what it is. Go book some bingo hall with the Walmart boys wrestling, since you like to put on shit bums like that.
Right, yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? But anyway, we'll move on from that. Let's talk about the tag team of the year. Tag team of the year, a lot of good tag teams this year. A lot of teams that hit a stride. The Street Profits just came on, had a great, great year. I feel like the Usos always have a great year.
Yeah. They haven't really been a tag team this year, though.
True.
And the Street Profits have been champions, I think, for the entire year.
Oh, wow. I didn't even realize that. Yeah, I think you're right.
I think they have been. I don't remember the last time they – because they won the Raw tag belts at, I think, Mania. Maybe around that time.
Sometime around there, yeah.
And they had them all the way up until the draft, and then they moved into the SmackDown, and now they've been the SmackDown champs since they moved. I don't even know who they even – they don't even, like, defend the belts to anybody.
That's because the tag division in WWE is horrible.
Yeah, I mean, they don't even have a
– split is.
Yeah, I don't even think they have a I don't think they're even feuding with anybody because – they just don't have – so they've literally been the tag champs.
Don't worry. Some random team that's not actually a tag team will win the Dusty Rhodes Classic and come up to challenge them.
Yeah, actually, no, they've been – oh, that's what – they've been feuding with – was it Ziggler and Rude?
Oh, yeah, that's right, too. Mm.
The Rudo – yeah, Rando tag team, Ziggler and Rude.
Well, I mean, at least they've been a Rando tag team for a while now, at least.
Right.
They look at them as, okay, yeah, they're a team.
They might give the belts to them, maybe, if the Street Profits ever lose. But who knows? Street Profits has never lose.
The Dusty Rhodes Classic starts next week.
Oh, there you go.
That's why I brought that up.
Yeah.
But anyway, so a lot of great teams, a lot of teams that that deserve to be talked about in this Tag Team of the Year category. We had a tie again.
Do you think we always have a tie?
No, we only had two.
Three champions.
Two ties this year. But this one, I think it kind of just goes to my talking about how New Japan kind of set itself and made itself known a little bit more this year. One of the teams that wins the Smarky this year is from New Japan, the Dangerous Trekkers.
Oh, there you go.
Tai Chi and Zack Sabre Jr. They were the New Japan Tag Team Champions up until this past week and at Wrestle Kingdom when they lost them to Guerrillas of Destiny.
Spoiler alert, if anyone hasn't seen it.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Go watch it. I don't care. You should have watched it. Go watch it. Guerrillas of Destiny with the tag titles. I can spoil the rest of it, but I won't.
Great.
So the Dangerous Trekkers, first half, and then the other half, is a team that I really, really think deserved this. They went through their ups and downs for the year. Almost got stuck with possibly the worst gimmick ever in WWE, where they were just going to make them a bunch of clowns.
Yeah.
The Revival.
Right.
FTR.
FTR, whatever they want to call them.
The Revival, the West, whatever you want to call it. They have so many...
Whatever their names are.
I didn't really like the name FTR, but it's growing on me because they've been slick with saying, hey, it could be this or this or this. So FTR can mean like 900 different things.
Right.
So, but FTR, great year. They've done their thing. They had a couple of amazing matches in AEW. I expect them to have those tag belts in AEW again really, really soon.
Yeah,
and I expect to see a lot of big things for them in 2021. I heard that they were talking about using them in a Horseman reboot, but I think that's been scrapped because they don't really want that.
Right. Because why do we need to do more stuff from WCW?
Well, no, it's not that. It's more of FTR has respect. Because a lot of these young guys don't have respect for legends. FTR does. And they respect the Horsemen, and they don't think they could do it as good as the Horsemen did it.
Right, right.
So I appreciate them saying, hey, we can do something, but we don't want to do that. But who knows where that's going to go. So we got that there. Congratulations to both of those teams. Let's go to, we've got 3, 4. We're getting down there. Let's go to Spot Monkey of the Year. This is March Spot Monkeys and Super Kings. We got to name our Spot Monkey of the Year.
That's an easy one. I think they're actually, I'm pretty sure they've won it every year.
Oh, yeah.
In a row. This is 3-year champs.
Running.
Woohoo!
Monkey goes to, once again, the Young Bucks.
The Young Bucks, yep.
Biggest Spot Monkeys.
In the Spot Monkeys of Spot Monkeys.
Spot Monkeys is right, seriously. Their book is called Killing the Business. It should be Spotting the Business.
Spotting the Business, but yeah.
That's what they do.
We may need to rename the Smarky Award to the their Smarky Award to the
Young Buck Award instead of Spot Monkey of the Year, Young Buck.
Yeah. Young Buck Smarky Award.
The Young Buck of the Year Award goes.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus. It just gets so frustrating to me because I like high flying stuff, but I don't like when you stand around and just wait for it.
Yeah, that's what kills me about them. Like, there's no, their matches don't have any like flow at all. It literally is a spot fest every single time. Like, there's just every single move. There's like, there's no psychology in their matches. It's always just spots. Mm-hmm. Like, do this spot, then do this spot, then do this spot, then wait for them to get to here so I can do this spot, then wait for them to do this. Their finisher's the worst. Their finisher's terrible.
The Meltzer driver?
Yeah, the Meltzer driver. It's terrible because there's no reason, because I'm a big believer about finishers. I think finishers need to have some kind of pizzazz, need to be something. And I look at it like it needs to be something that you can do to anybody. You know what I mean? That's a good finisher. Something you can do no matter who you're in the ring with, you should be able to hit that finisher on anyone. There's no way in hell.
Here's what I'm going to say. I want to say something to that. I don't think anybody, because you're always going to have that guy. Like, you can pull off, if you have a finisher that you can do to everybody, but then you face the Big Show and you can't get the Big Show. That's understandable because he's like,
yeah, but I'm saying, okay, but there's our
third. I wanted to clarify so when people hear it, they're not like, what the hell is he talking about? Anybody. You can't. We need anybody that you would normally be fighting in a normal match. Of course, you're going to have those few exceptions to the rules that come in. And the point of it is, oh my God, they'll never hit the finisher on this guy.
Right, but that's why some wrestlers have more than one finisher, so that you can say, you know what, like AJ Styles couldn't hit the Styles Clash on the Big Show, but he could hit the Phenomenal Forearm on the Big Show. You know what I mean? So that's how I'm looking at it. That's how I look at it. So I'm like, the Meltzer driver, there's no way you could do that on. You're not gonna be able to do you. It's not gonna look right if you try to do that on like even guys like Hangman Page, on freaking. Like on Jake Hager, I'm trying to think of guys that like are just not even big guys, but guys that like you would think you're like, dude, you're not gonna hit that on them. Like, you know what I mean? Wardlow, you know what I'm saying? Right. So they're and not only that, it's a finisher in the sense that the guy has to sit there and wait for you to like get in position.
But that's why the Bucks only fight certain guys. Like, yeah, you see the Bucks in. And when they do fight other guys, sometimes the matches aren't that good. Like,
right,
you put the Bucks against the Butcher and the Blade, you're not going to get a good match.
Right, exactly, and that's the problem. That's why
spots and all about the Bucks do good when they're fighting people that they can pull off spots with.
Right, and that's the problem with them. That's the issue with them. That's why they're the Spot Monkeys, is because that's all they do. They just do spots all the time because they can't do anything else because they have no there's no other psychology in their matches. It's just spots all the time.
Yeah, there's no psychology in the matches. It's all spots.
Yeah,
spots.
Yeah, that's
true. The next spot is, let's do the next thing. We get the crowd.
Why they are.
That's just what they do. That's their whole game. That's their MO.
Yeah.
So this Spot Monkey, they're going to be like Spot Monkey of the Year for life.
Yeah.
The award's going to get retired just because of like
Bucks. Yeah, because I don't know who else they could put in there.
I can't wait till it's broken by somebody.
I don't know who could break it.
Have a huge celebration whenever it happens. Can't wait. Now we've got our best and worst male, female match, and then mark out moment. That's all that's left right
there
now.
You go.
So let's get to the best. Let's do the best first.
Mm-hmm.
Our female wrestler of the year. A lot of females that had some, that had a lot of good things going. Asuka had a great year. You know, she won Money in the Bank and then was getting the title, and she dropped one title, grabbed the other one, and now she's one of the, she's Raw champion and she's women's tag team champion. So Asuka had a great year. She was up there for it. If someone voted Nyla Rose, I wouldn't have accepted it because he's a man. I had a portion cut out of the Apostle Awards because I said that the reason she has Vicky Guerrero is because she sounds like a man. And I even said it respectfully and called her a she.
Yeah.
Well, because you live in this this environment where everything's toxic and everyone gets offended, we had to take that off. Me, I don't care if you don't like it. Oh, well. My brand, you like my brand because I said that Nyla Rose is a man. It's the truth. You probably think that the people that broke into the Capitol building were patriots. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And I voted for Trump.
Yes,
don't come to me and say I'm a stupid liberal, just for the record.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But there were some Shida. Hikaru Shida had a great year.
Shida, man.
In AEW. And you kind of see the trend here going where we're going with it. We're going here down the line. And of course, this year's Smarky for the female of the year goes to Mike.
Io Shirai.
Of course. What a great year. Funny that we were talking about our last show that we did was when she won the NXT Championship.
Right.
Way back in June.
Yeah.
And she's still the champ.
Yeah, still champ.
And NXT hasn't been shut down. They've been having shows every week, even special shows. We've had takeovers. Yeah. Everything's been going on. So she's been going out there doing it, fighting everybody in there.
And she's had good feuds with Candice LeRae, and now with coming up with Dakota Kai, and now coming up, she's probably going to be next. It'll be Raquel Gonzalez.
Mm-hmm.
Be the next one, so they're kind of, she's had good feuds, and she's had good moments, and she was a part of War Games, and she had stuff with Toni Storm. Like, she's had good, she's been good all year.
Yeah, she has. She's a really, really good year.
Yeah.
I want to mention an honorable mention, in my opinion, Abaddon. In AEW, I mean, she came out of nowhere, and she just, like, caught fire. People liked her. People just got behind her character and her gimmick. It's different. Yeah. It's Rosemary, Sue Young, mixed and melded into something way wilder. That's right.
Yeah. Yep. I agree with that.
But I think she's gonna have a great 2021, and I think she'll be in the talk next year for female wrestler of the year. So congratulations to Io Shirai.
Yo.
Female wrestler of the year. Now let's go to the other side of that one. Our worst female of the year. There were a few. Again.
Yeah.
I wouldn't accept Nyla Rose because he's a man.
So right.
Nyla Rose isn't going to win the Smarky this year.
Nope.
Lana could have been up there. But I mean,
yeah,
they did a lot with her. She had a good year. when you really look at it.
Yeah, she had a lot of storyline, and she did a lot of like stuff, and you know, at least they had a story for her. She wasn't just some like
Rusev Cuck could have been worse storyline. I think if it wasn't for Johnny Bravo, Rusev
that Cuck could have been worse. I don't think that was this year. That was the year before, though, wasn't it?
That was this year.
It was.
It was our first episode of 2020. Our second episode or first episode? Let me see. Let me go back.
I didn't realize that was this year. I thought that was last year.
Our first episode of 2020, January 5th episode, was titled Rusev Cuck. So that was the middle of it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so.
That was the cover of that episode is Lana in bed with Bobby Lashley.
Oh, Jesus.
That was like right in the heart of it. So.
That did happen this year. Now I remember that. Yeah, it did happen this year. Gee, yeah, that should have been. That could have been right up there. Rusev Cuck.
Rusev, that was bad. That was terrible. Bad. I'm glad.
Oh, what a terrible idea.
Rusev Cuck. But anyway, I think this is a given. She might have gotten this. This might be her third year winning this one, too. I got to go back.
Pretty sure she's won it every year, too. She's absolutely the freaking worst. Cannot stand her.
She is everybody.
I don't care. I get it. I'm sorry that she's a female. I'm sure she's in real life, she's probably a nice person. Maybe. I don't really know her. But as a wrestler and as everything's gone, she is freaking awful.
The 2020 Smarky for worst female of the year goes to Nia Jax.
Seriously. Oh, my God. She's freaking just, she does nothing.
I feel like they just like they know she's gonna hurt people. It's kind of like,
seriously.
Oh, you said that? Did you hit Nia Jax? Like, remember when Teddy Long used to be like, you're gonna fight the Undertaker? Like, yeah. You're gonna fight Nia Jax.
Like, and they're like, no, I don't want to get hurt. Please, no. Like, she's horrible on the mic. She's a stop freaking talking on the mic. She's terrible.
She's bad.
She's awful on the mic. Her music is terrible. She might have the worst entrance ever. I can't stand her music. Her wrestling style is awful. And she comes off as like...
And she hurt everybody. She injured half of the freaking...
Seriously.
...team. Single-handedly, her own team. Not the other team. Not in the match. While she's fighting someone, she injured them. No. She injured half of her team in the match on the go-home show before Survivor Series.
Right.
She just botches everything.
Seriously.
Nia Jax could have been botch of the year, just her.
Seriously. She's only there because of her ties to her family. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason why she has a job. It's like how much longer are you going to go allowing this freaking person to hurt all of your freaking...
I want to bang Brock's daughter just so I can get myself a guaranteed job forever in WWE.
Seriously, like Jesus Christ. she's awful. And like, I can't stand her on the TV. I can't stand her. Her matches are terrible. I don't remember. She doesn't have one good match ever. It's awful. And she's so dangerous in the ring. That's really what it is. She's dangerous in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
To the fact, because I don't think she knows how to, she doesn't know, she doesn't know what she's doing. And so the way she does things, she's just like, and I don't know how many times she's like done, I've seen her in a match where she's done a move on someone and like cringed, feeling bad for the person she just did it. Not because it was a great move. No, because I think you just freaking hurt her. I'm like, way to go. You just hurt somebody else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just throwing them into the freaking, I think, can't remember who it was. Not too long ago, she threw. Might have been not Ruby Riott. The other one, Liv Morgan. Might have been Liv Morgan. I think she like threw her into like, and she nailed the bottom turnbuckle
and injured her.
I'm like, Jesus Christ, man! Is her neck freaking busted? Like Jesus Christ.
Yep, that's Nia. That's what Nia does. Nia injures people because Nia injures people.
Yeah, I know. Seriously.
Bad.
Ugh.
Well, congratulations on winning worst female of the year again. I gotta look that back up because this could be her third.
I'm pretty sure she's been the worst female ever.
It's like her and the Bucks just on a roll of winning.
Yeah, 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 they just never lose. Yeah.
Well, this has been a long one. We're going to cut this episode into two episodes, so make sure you come back and check out part two right here on Smarks, Spot Monkeys, and Super Kicks.
The Smarks in here, the Smarks in here, yeah.